Blog Talk Radio.
You are now tuned in to the Soul Sessions Radio Show, right here on the Flavor News Radio Network. As always, I am your host, Dwayne Alston, and I got some good music lined up for you. And I also have a surprise guest that I'm going to have in as soon as I get this song out of the way. And let me do that right now. This is Brian Owens with I Just Want to Feel Alright, and you are listening to Soul Sessions.
I just want to feel alright. Rain. I can hear her say as the needle hit her vein, I just want to feel alright. The memories haunt his sleep. He prays the Lord his soul to keep. But he hopes to die before he wakes. Lord, hear him cry as he drinks the pain away. I just want to feel alright.
was Brian Owens with I Just Want to Feel All Right. I really like that track. It reminds me of, you know, like late 50s, early 60s, that kind of soul, you know, that classic soul. But anyway, as I stated at the beginning of the show, I do have a surprise guest for you guys tonight. My guest tonight actually just recently released an EP entitled Ode to Old Flames. Yeah, I'm feeling that. I'm feeling the title, but I'm definitely feeling the EP. Please help me welcome to the show Mr. John Bibbs.
Hey, what's going on, Dwayne? It's good to talk to y'all. How y'all doing?
Likewise. I'm good. How are you, brother?
Man, I'm wonderful, man. I just heard that y'all were, just saw that you were online, and I wanted to come and give a shout-out. Thank you for showing so much love to Old Flames and just, you know, representing for soul music in general.
Oh, no doubt. That's what I'm here for. Yeah, so, I mean, I was surprised when, you know, when you said you wanted to call in, but, of course, you know, my lines are always open to guys like yourself. And I'm kind of glad I have you here because I was actually about to play your song next. And okay. I want to talk about, you know, Old Flames because, like I said, you know, it hits me personally. You know, I'm just getting out of a relationship. So, you know, I have a new old flame. And, you know, I was listening to the songs and I'm just like, man, you must have been reading my mind. Like, this is like, that's pretty much how I feel. It reminds me of, like, you know, the relationship I was in, my ex-wife and all that, just all that I went through with her and, you know, with, you know, this new situation. It was right on time. It was almost like
wow.
I was meant to hear that.
Well, man, you know, I mean, we all go through those changes of love and relationships, you know. And I tried to write this music in a way that it would be relative to anyone at any point in their life, whether you begin a new love or, you know, in a retrospective on old love, you know.
I can dig it. I mean, my assumption is that you drew for some personal experiences, too.
Oh, most definitely. I mean, it's the music comes from such a personal place. I can't even really... you know, there's a lot of uncomfortable emotion that went into this record and a lot of experience when it comes down to heartbreak. You know, I had my share of relationships, and some of them are still, you know, very real and very, how can I say, they still have presence in my life as far as effect on me, you know, and it
right.
reflects in the music, undoubtedly.
Right. You kind of led into my next question. I'll actually save that because I do want to play the song, but I have a lot more questions. And I'm about to play Gone.
Okay.
You know, you're featuring Kanye Doss on this.
Yeah.
I'll save my questions until after I play the song. But if you could, just give the listeners out there a little insight into this song.
Okay. You want me to do this now?
Yes, please.
Okay. Gone is a song all about reflecting on a relationship after it is over with. You find that it is everything that you wanted and everything that you needed, but you were not ready. And now that situation is gone, and the opportunity is gone. And that's what this song is all about, good love in retrospect, kind of.
I definitely feel that. All right, folks, this is Gone by the brother John Bibbs. And you are listening to Soul Sessions Radio Show right here on the Flavor News Radio Network.
I could feel behind.
Sorry about that, brother. I had a little technical difficulty
good,
here.
Oh, good.
Yeah, that is a really nice song, man. Like, I think that was the one. I chose that one specifically because out of all the songs, like, I mean, being that, you know, my situation is still kind of fresh for me too. Like, that's the one that hit home the most. Like, it really got me to thinking, you know, just about, like you said, you know, looking back in retrospect and, you know, what you could have done better and, you know, just having to, you know, accept the reality that, you know, it's over. And, you know, it's a learning experience. I could definitely say that. That's if you choose for it to be.
Yeah.
And I mean, and that's, you know, that's love at its best when it teaches us, you know, but the thing is, it isn't always quite so easy to get the lessons, because you got to get past, you got to get past all the personal stuff, all the emotions, you got to get past all the feelings to really come down to some teachable and learnable moments, you know what I mean? If that's the challenge when it comes down to heartbreak and all that stuff.
I can dig it. So how was it working with Miss Kanya Doss? She's one of my favorites out there.
Man, Kanya is the awesomest. Like, her spirit is just so down to earth, and she's just so grounded as not just an artist, but as a human being. You know how you can meet people, and they just seem to have that grounding and that direction. They just know where they're going. And she, whenever you hang out with Kanya, that's how you get that feeling. Musically, you know, her voice is just amazing. You know, it's so effortlessly soulful. It was really, I count it as a highlight of my career to have recorded with Ms. Kanya Doss. Actually, her music was really influential to me when I was getting into this, because it was one of the major recordings that made me decide I wanted to sing this kind of music, especially that A Poem About Ms. Doss record. It was the soulfulness of it that really struck me and stuck with me.
Right. I can dig it. Now, let's talk about that. I mean, how long have you been doing this?
I've been putting out music since 2001. My first album came out.
What was the name of that?
True Story.
True Story. Okay, yeah. I'm familiar with it.
Mm-hmm. True Story was the first record, and then after that, there was Red, The Color of Love. And then following that, there was Unbreakable. And then I did a collection album with a couple of new tracks up there that was called Retrospective. And this is Old to Old Flames.
For sure. Now, being that you do write, you know, your own songs, I mean, just in general, you know, what inspirations do you draw upon when you write your music?
Are we talking about musical or are we talking about lyrical?
Lyrical.
My lyrics are really, you know, it's kind of crazy how I write, because the lyrics come from all over the place. I try to write in a poetic form. And, you know, a lot of singers have different approaches to their lyricism. But for me, I like to look at my lyrics on paper and see them as a written poem. And then I try to approach the phrasing as if I'm reading that.
So do you find that, I mean, my assumption is that it makes it easier for you, you know, to actually, you know, get in the booth and record?
Sometimes it is, sometimes it isn't. Because sometimes, you know, sometimes you write out lyrics and it's hard to figure out how to make it flow. Like, it may fit rhythmically, but how do I make it flow? And sometimes it's easier to have somebody give you that piece, you know. Sometimes it's easier to hear somebody else do it first, and then you take it and try to put your spin on it. But then again, there are those moments when it is, you just, it's all flow for you, and it comes very easily. So I guess it's a 50-50 chance that it could be easier for you.
I can dig it. I ask these questions out of everyone that I speak to that, you know, once I know that they actually write their songs, because, you know, I'm a poet myself, but I can't play any instruments or anything like that. So I've always wanted to get into songwriting, but being that I can't really do it for myself, you know, I want to, I guess, figure out a way that I could, you know, put what I'm feeling out there in a form where another artist can take it and run with it.
No. But that's always a challenge, you know, and that's a challenge with any songwriting team where you have two people, you know, because if you aren't careful, then the flow and the lyrical intent don't match up. You wind up getting something out of the song that you didn't want to get. Phrasing, it's a lot to it, but it all comes down to finding somebody that you gel with, who can communicate musically as fluently as you can create lyrically. That's the challenge. With Gone, it was really easy, and it was really crazy because Connie and I have very different approaches to rhythm, especially when it comes down to writing. But the way that the two styles come together in this song is like perfect. You know what I mean? She's a little bit more rhythmic, and I'm a little bit more, poetic. But you know, it comes together perfectly for this record. You know,
All right.
Yeah,
I can imagine. I mean, especially when you listen to the end result, and it just sounds like, you know, you guys are on the same page from beginning. I mean,
yeah, if that's how I felt, you know. She asked me to send out a reference for what I was doing, and I sent her out a reference vocal, and she's like, "Okay, I'm straight. When you want to record it?" I was like, "Let's go." You know what I mean? I mean, she was just like, it was perfect.
I can dig it. I can dig it. Now, where can folks find your album?
You can find the album on Amazon.com, iTunes, or in either App Store, in the Google Play App Store or in the Apple App Store under my name, John Bibbs, the Daily Live app.
Cool. And I did see out there in Facebook land that you have some performances coming up. You know, if you care to share those, please be my guest.
Yeah, man. I'm playing New York City this coming Monday night at 9:30. And then on Tuesday, there's going to be a Ustream. I'm going to be talking with some other gentlemen from my area of Virginia. We're going to be talking about living life purposefully and what it means to be a man and all kinds of good manly talk on Tuesday. And that's going to be on Ustream, or if you have the JB Live app, it'll be there as well. And then on Thursday, I'm doing an album release event in D.C. at Park at 14th, doing a 7 to 9 p.m. show there. So it's quite a busy week coming up.
I can dig it. Now, when you're performing, like, I hear a lot of artists talking about, you know, drawing from the crowd to get their energy. I mean, is that what you do? Like, what is your approach to actually performing?
Performance is kind of a hybrid thing. I mean, it all does center around an energy, but that energy can come from a number of sources. The crowd is definitely a major influencer of a performance. Even if a performer is coming to give a stellar performance, energy from the crowd intensifies it. The energy from the crowd is never, ever a bad thing when it comes down to the stage. But for me also, I tend to be introspective during my performances. I try to place myself in the space where I, or if I'm doing a cover, the writer of this, where they were when they created the piece of music. So that's another place, a source of energy. But then there's the musical source, which exists with the musicians who are on stage. They take a composition that's been recorded and performed, and they bring new life to it. So there's another source of energy, and I try to draw from all three of these sources on stage.
I can dig it. I mean, I can only imagine because, you know, like I said, I'm not a musician, and I don't see myself ever being on the stage like that. So, I mean, you know, the times when I've gotten to see artists perform, you know, like, I try to look for that. Like, I look to see how, you know, they draw their energy from the crowd, because I find that, like you said, it's a hybrid situation. I find it to be a unique dynamic. I mean, because for that moment, I mean, you're there. I mean, you know, words like synergy come to mind. It's like you're there and the crowd is there, and you're giving your all to the crowd, and they're giving their all back to you. I mean, and it just seems like a perfect marriage. It would seem like if I was to be an artist, like, that would be my favorite part of it. Because, I mean, you know, you can go into the studio. At least this is what I imagine. You can go into the studio and, you know, you take as long as it takes for you to get the product. But when you're on the stage, that's it. Like, you know, there's no takes. You know, you're not going to start over. I mean, you kind of got to roll with the punches. If you mess up, you got to deal with it. I mean, that just seems like, to me, that, you know, like, it would be more gratifying, like, to be able to come out of that situation and know that you've given something good and you've put something good out there into the universe.
Man, the experience after a show when you know you gave it, man, that is the best feeling on earth. I mean, it is transformative to know that. Because it's all about communication on the stage. So if I'm behind the mic and I leave the stage feeling like, man, I gave it. I think they got it. I think they felt. I think they know what I'm trying to say. Oh man, I've won. It's such a moment of victory. It feels like, and that's really not possible without an attentive audience. The audience has such a role to play in the show. And we as performers, it's undeniable to us. We couldn't do what we do if we didn't have people who supported us from the crowd. It's just impossible. It really is.
Yeah, I can imagine. I can really imagine. I do want to play a couple more cuts from your EP, but before I get into those, because I actually have to load them up, I want to play this track that was sent to me recently, like, you know, just actually a few days ago. And, you know, I listened to it, and I fell in love with it. And then I realized that was you on the vocals. And, I'm talking about the project from Waterseed.
Oh, yeah. Feel like,
yeah.
I do.
Right. Yeah, man, that song that's nice. That's a really nice cut right there. I mean,
yeah,
what,
man, they gave me some good stuff to work with, didn't they?
yeah. I was listening to it like, man, what is this? Like, oh, this is exactly what I'm talking about. Like, this is the music that if you listen to something like this and you can't feel where this is coming from, like, something's not right. Like, you're not listening. It's like, yeah, you're hearing the song, but you're not listening.
Indeed.
And, right. And before I get into it, I just want to ask, like, you know, how did this come about that you ended up working with?
I ran into Waterseed when they were on tour here in Virginia. And, you know, I sung a song, they were at a spot where they were featuring. And they were like, they hit me up a couple months later, like, man, we want to do some stuff. I said, okay, well, let's get to Atlanta and get it recorded. And this is what happened.
For sure. I'm going to let y'all folks hear this. This is Feel Like I Do, featuring our guest tonight, Mr. John Bibbs. And you are listening to Soul Sessions on the Flavor News Radio Network. You guys are going to love this.
Yeah.
Oh man, like I close my eyes listening to that, and like I see the video in my head. Like I really see the video in my head. It's like, you know, it's like a dimly lit club. You guys are up there, and like, you know, they're just panning around, and it's like couples, and they're dancing together, and they're, you know, they're getting sensual, and it's just, oh man, that, yeah, that track right there can evoke some emotions if you let it.
Well, that's what we're supposed to be doing. That's
yeah, you're not lying about that. Not lying about that.
Yeah,
do you know the project, the title of this project? Because I got to get a hold of the whole thing.
I'm not sure about the name of that entire project. I know it was put out with a new remix by DJ Roberto Ingram from Munich, Germany. It's available on Bandcamp under Waterseed Music. And it's also that particular, the remix for that is available on JV Live as well.
Cool. Let me ask you, there's a question that just popped in my head. I mean, in this day and age, with the advent of social networking and, you know, just being able to be on a global scale at any given moment, I mean, do you find that it's helped you as an artist? I mean, just in terms of, you know, like accessibility to, like, you know, like you said, this the DJ Roberto, he's from Germany, and I just imagine that, you know, just having the access to artists all around the world at any given moment, it can change, you know, it changes the game.
It's definitely a game changer, man. You know, it's the world has become so small for creatives. I can reach out to you know, I can get a remix from Germany with artwork from somebody in South America. You know what I mean? It's, and have it all tonight. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, it's incredible how small the world has gotten. And what I've done personally is I've done my best to try to harness that and grasp that as best as possible as a tool to engage my fans, my friends, and my family members who are listening to the music, and try to make sure that I'm doing all I can to get it out there. So that's why I have, like, the JV Live site, and then I have the mobile app and all this tech stuff, because I really believe that's the kind of setting free agent that we need in the music industry to democratize the music music marketplace a little bit more.
True. I mean, you brought up a good point. I consider myself anti-mainstream music. Like, I've always been a big supporter of, you know, just independent art, independent music in itself. And what I mean by that is I feel that, you know, with social media and with, you know, just these avenues for independent, you know, distribution and music creation, that you guys don't even really need these major labels anymore. Like, you don't need their machine. I mean, I can imagine it's nice to still be able to get that level of support, but in essence, like, you know, you can do it yourself if you're willing to put in the work. But to me, that's what being an independent artist is about. It's like, I wouldn't want to do it any other way if I was in your position.
I mean, true indeed. The position I'm in, I don't think that there's any other way to do it but indie. I do think that there's a place for the major label, and there's a place for major label deals. But the days where artists are beholden to major labels to do their thing, those days are gone. We can do our thing on our own without permission, endorsement, funding, or anything else from other sources. We do ourselves equally badly when we kind of say, you know, when we anti. I'm not anti anything. I'm just pro what I'm doing.
Right, I can dig it.
Yeah,
I can dig it. Where I guess where it started for me was I read a book, and hold on, let me because I can't remember the title. Let me get that book so I can read the title to you. It's called Criminalizing Independent Music, the Recording Industry Association of America's Advancement of Dominant Ideology. And, you know, I was reading this book, and I interviewed the author. His name is David Arditi. And, you know, we had a nice conversation about what he wrote here in his book. I mean, you know, he talks about the commodification of music. And I, you know, and I think from an artistic standpoint, at least today, I mean, like when I guess the labels first took off, like, you know, in my opinion, and maybe they felt like, you know, they still needed the artists, especially, you know, back in the Motown era. I mean, they were, you know, they were practically an indie label, and then they grew and, you know, they became big. But, you know, it seems like then, you know, labels needed the artists just as much as artists needed the label. So, you know, there was the ability to work together for a common goal. But now you have these major labels, and they're established, they have, you know, their processes in place, and it seems like, you know, they're just looking for artists to keep the machine rolling, and they're letting creativity go by the wayside, or at least if the artist doesn't fight for the creativity, you know, for their own creativity, that it would just go away. And I guess that's where it comes from for me. It's like, when I see now what artists are capable of doing, it's like, that's why I say, like, I wouldn't have it any other way, because it's like, you know, you don't have to give up your creativity for nothing now. It's like, you know, you do what you want to do, and you put it out there, and your fans will love it or they won't. But, you know, that's always the chance you take, I suppose.
Indeed. I mean, you know, that, I mean, it, I guess it's a matter of perspective and a matter of what purpose is. You have to, I mean, that goes to every artist. Every artist has their own mission statement, why they do what they do. And, you know, that definitely will influence one's perspective on the role of a major label. I, you know, for a long time, I was anti-major label, but then I started to see some things changing in the industry, and I started to see people who were independent be able to influence major labels to make changes. I saw the reverse of what we had seen for so long, where major labels were bending artists to their will. I saw artists bending labels to their will. So I think the underground has its place. Indie and you know, semi indie deals have their place, but the major label deal is not an outdated thing. It is more scarce. Its relevance is diluted, but I wouldn't go as far as to say it is irrelevant. It has its place in the music cosmos, I think. This is my perspective.
Yeah, I understand. All right, I want to get into another track now.
Okay. I'm going to have to run soon because I'm here. We're editing the video for Follow My Heart with me and Allison Carney, which I'm really excited about. We just shot that this Tuesday, so I'm here at the editing suite working on that.
Oh, no doubt. As a matter of fact, I was just about to say that. That's the song I'm about to play. So,
oh, that's,
I mean,
awesome.
Yeah, if you could just give the listeners out there a little insight into that. I'll go ahead and knock that out real quick.
Word up. Well, Pull My Heart is a record about following one's heart. You know, love is not, I tweeted a little bit earlier today about love and what I believe it to be. And, you know, a lot of times we want love to be comfortable. We want love to be convenient. But, you know, sometimes love leads us to places that we don't necessarily want to be. And sometimes it takes courage to follow one's heart to those specific places. So, yeah, that's what this song is about. It's got my buddy Allison Carney, who looks like a rock star in this music video I'm editing right now. It's got my buddy. She's singing her heart out on this record. I'm so glad she sung with me. And Dwayne, hey, man, thanks for having me on tonight. I enjoyed myself, and I hope everybody will go check out Old to Old Flames and see you in New York and D.C. and on Ustream this week coming.
Okay, folks, and yes, you can find John on Twitter at John Bibbs and also on Facebook, right? I think it's John Bibbs Soul
Music.
Soul Music, right.
Yeah, John Bibbs Soul Singer, and it's J-O-N-B-I-B-B-S, no H.
All right, folks, well, thank you, John. I definitely appreciate you taking some time out to hang out with me. It's definitely most appreciative. And, you know, when you're ready, you're always welcome to come back.
I appreciate it, brother, and that won't be too long, I promise.
For sure, for sure.
All right, now.
Have a good one.
You too.
Yeah, folks, that was John Bibbs. Oh, man, that was a pleasure. I didn't expect that. But, you know, it's always a welcome thing to have independent artists come and hang out with me. I'm going to go ahead and get into this song that he talked about. This is Follow My Heart featuring Allison Carney. And you are tuned into Soul Sessions right here on Flavor News Radio.
Falling in love all
And Allison Carney with Follow My Heart from his new release entitled Ode to Old Flames. Make sure you pick that up. Amazon.com, iTunes, Google Play, all of those. Go check them out on Facebook and on Twitter. And I'm going to give a shout out to Ms. Shakira McNeil hanging out with me in the chat room. Thank you for being supportive. Did I really say that? Thank you for being supportive. I really do appreciate that. And I'm going to get back into this good music. I got a lot for you tonight. Kick things off with another brother who's really, really talented. Goes by the name of Brad Marquis. This is All of Me.
And every mistake has made the man you see in me.
Love,
take my hand, take my heart, take my soul, and keep complete control. If that's the key to being happy, see, there's nothing I'd rather do, no, than be.
It'll be alright. heart as that first sister.
We were meant to be.
Yeah. listen here. Baby, seems like lately treating me so shady. Hey, was there something I said, something I did? I thought we were where we should be. Oh, was I surprised when I saw the love leave your eyes? Can we try this over? I don't wanna leave it like this. Can we maybe try this over? Till we get it just right, yeah, just right. Baby, I'm not that crazy. There's something wrong here lately, so I'm wondering if something we missed, haven't even kissed. Started out was good time. Now I just don't know where your heart lies, but I'm willing to try one time. If we can try this over. Just
Happy. Just a little bit of tension.
You. Before that, we had Jonathan Winstead off of his Lovestry CD entitled You Make Me Say. Before that, Jamila knew something I came across this week. That track is entitled The Moment. We had Douglas Adams with Just Like This. We had Donnie featuring my good friend Kyra Simone all the way from the UK off of the Ladies Night compilation. That track was entitled Feel So Good. We had Daryl Strode's And Over and Over, Chris Rouse with Soul Beautiful, and we led that set off with Brad Marquis with All of Me. Before I get into this last set, I want to again thank Mr. John Bibbs for coming through and hanging out with me impromptu-like. That was really great. I really enjoyed having that conversation. If you are listening via the archives, I thank you as always, and as always, I invite you to come check us out live. Every Friday, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, right here on the Flavor News Radio Network. Always got that good music for you. Just a reminder, in 3 weeks' time, on August 17th, my guest here on the Soul Sessions Radio Show will be Miss Terry Tobin, who just released the sophomore project. I apologize, the name skips me right now. But don't worry, because when she's here, we're going to talk all about it. So you would definitely get all that information. So make sure you are here on the 17th for that. And I don't know. Oh, yeah, the Olympics is tonight. I know most of you are probably out there watching it. And, you know, go USA and all that good stuff. I got to get a chance to check out. I wanted to catch the opening ceremonies, but the show must go on. So definitely going to get my Olympics in for the next 2 weeks. And on that note, I will just say to you that it's been a pleasure bringing you that good music, as always. I hope you enjoyed it just as much as I enjoyed bringing it to you. And I'm going to go ahead and slide into this last set. And I will see you guys next week. Same time, same station. I'm going to kick this last set off with the late, great Luther Vandross. This is Anyone Who Had a Heart, and you are tuned into Soul Sessions right here on the Flavor News Radio Network. Peace.
anyone who ever dreamed could look at me and know I dream of you, knowing I love you. So anyone who had a home would take me in her arms and love me too. You couldn't really have a home and hurt me like you hurt me and be so loving you the way I do. I take you back. Without you, I die. Knowing I love you so. Anyone who had a heart would take me in her arms and love me too. You couldn't really hurt and hurt me like you've hurt me and be so untrue. So what can I do? Anyone with woo, that's me.
I'm not leaving. You see, I love ya. No one above
you. No one above
you. We belong together.
What's happening? wanting friendship more, we've grown to admire and adore. But behind closed doors, our minds explore dreams of extreme curiosity building, because in your mind, you really feel me.
For a day when we'd be more than just good friends.